The Warrior Soul podcast is written, edited, and produced by me, Chris Albert. Our mission is to provide tools, tactics, strategies, and ideas that help the U.S. military veteran community to show up as the wisest, strongest, most capable versions of themselves in the civilian world. If you're not a veteran, stick around because anything we talk about will most certainly apply to you as well. This podcast is made possible with the help of F-Bomb Nutrition. They make delicious packets of fats that you can carry around anywhere with you in little portable packets. They make macadamia nut butters. They mix them up with chocolate. They mix them up with sea salt. They mix them up with coconut butter. They're absolutely delicious, and they're really good for you. They don't have any sugar. They also make a lot of cheese snacks. They make meat sticks, and it's just a great company. These guys send packages of this stuff to the troops who are on the front lines overseas to supplement their MREs, and we didn't ask them to do that. They just did that on their own initiative. Really great company. If you want to get 20% off your first order of F-bombs, head over to www.droppingfbomb.com and use the code WARRIORSOUL at checkout. This podcast is also brought to you with the help of Save the Brave. SaveTheBrave.org is a 501c3 charity for veterans. They run camaraderie events that include fishing, golfing. They also do a lot of work with Gold Star families. And unlike a lot of other organizations, their board doesn't take a salary. Really great organization that is doing amazing work. So go and check them out at SaveTheBrave.org. With that, thank you guys so much. Let's get into today's programming. This is Chris Albert, and I'm here to remind you of one thing. Someday, you're going to die. Now, that's not some morbid statement or scary idea. It's solid fact. Your time here on this earth is limited. And we need to be reminded of this as much as possible for one simple reason. To live your best life while you can. This is the Warrior Soul Podcast. What is going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to the Warrior Soul Podcast. And as you know, I've been pretty vocal about my astonishment at what is going on here in the midst of this COVID-19 crisis. The virus, the pandemic, actually astonishes me less than the reactions of people, the reactions of government that we're seeing out there. And here's the deal. I am not questioning the fact that this is a very dangerous virus. I'm also not questioning the fact that we need to follow specific precautions in order to keep this virus from spreading. Yet, I am absolutely astounded at the sheer audacity of people who live in places like New York City, who expect the rest of the country, people in North Dakota, people in Montana, people in Tennessee, people in West Virginia, people in places where very few people have been infected, where they expect them to follow the same rules and the same draconian guidelines as somebody in a very populous center. And it also astounds me the lack of empathy that these people have for individuals who are currently out of work, individuals who are not able to provide for their families through no faults of their own. That makes me mad. It makes me angry. And what bothers me is that I feel like a lot of it is happening simply because two sides of the political spectrum really don't like each other right now. They're both trying to one up each other, or they're getting their hands tied because they don't want the impact of the 2020 elections to be against them. And so, what's happening in turn is that people are suffering. People are needlessly suffering. And so, I had my friend, my good friend, one of my best friends in the world, Mr. Tony Floreal, come on. And what you can consider this is a rant session. Now, neither Tony nor I are medically qualified professionals. We are not doctors, right? So we're not doling out medical advice here. We're not saying, hey, you gotta listen to us. You should start violating the law. And we're not saying that you should go out and stop social distancing and all this other stuff. What we are saying, though, is that it seems like a lot of people are just acting like sheep, right? It seems like a lot of people are just lining up, waiting for our civil liberties to be taken away. And many seem to be applauding that. And in a place like America, where liberty is valued, or has been historically valued, even over life, that's a scary thing. So I'm worried about where we're going. I'm worried about what the implications are with this. You can have your own opinions. That's fine. We can talk about this civilly if you disagree. I won't talk to anybody who does not want to discuss this civilly. I am open to having good discussions about it. And I'm interested to hear your views. So you're going to hear some of mine and some of Tony's. Tony's been a guest on the podcast before. His business has been absolutely eradicated by this whole thing. Let's get into it. All right, everybody out there in the country, this is Big Brother talking, and we want you sheltered in place, and we don't want you going anywhere at all. In fact, we're going to start tracking you via your cell phones to see if you are gathering. Just kidding.
It's maybe Chris by vaccination too, right?
Yeah. We're going to make sure you get vaccinated too. We're going to make sure you all have chips.
Vaccinated. It'll track you with 5G, with the metal compound in your blood.
Yep. Track you in all those ways. We're just putting on our tinfoil hats over here, guys. This is still the Warrior's Soul podcast. And last time I checked, this is still a free country. And I've got my good friend, one of my best friends in the world, Mr. Tony Flowreel, with me today. And Tony is up in San Francisco, California. How are things up there, Tony?
Beautiful day, man. We had a lot of rain the last few days, but just had an epic sunny day. I took advantage of it. Went outside, got my feet on the earth, fresh air by the ocean, and soaked up the rays.
Nice, man. Nice. And how are people up there taking this whole thing from what you've seen?
Yeah, it surprised me because I was down in LA actually before the lockdowns were going on. And so I knew how to get out of Dodge. Didn't want to be in LA during a zombie apocalypse, right? So went up north to my family, especially my mom. And yeah, it was surprising. You know, I think people up here have been pretty friendly. Some people actually smile on the streets, which is rare, I find, in California as a whole. It's interesting up here in San Fran, Silicon Valley. People just don't really say hi like they do on the East Coast or other places I've been in the world. So it's been different. It had that 9/11 vibe going on. So I think people were just kind of wondering what was happening. And yeah, it was cool, you know, standing in line. The lines are getting long at Costco or whatnot, but everybody seemed pretty friendly. Some people look paranoid. You see them coming up down the street. They'll cross the street, right? So, but I wasn't worried about it. I know about how the body works and our immune system. So, you know, just going with it right now, just wondering like how this is going to play out.
Yeah, it's interesting because down here, I'm in Southern California and I live in San Bernardino County. And, when I went to the store, I went to the grocery store the other day, and it was interesting how the grocery store changed because, you know, normally you go to the grocery store, people are passing by, they're saying, excuse me, and things like that. And I went to the grocery store this time and it kind of reminded me of, like, have you ever seen The Handmaid's Tale, where they got their hoods and they got like their hoodwinks and they're like walking around and not talking with each other or trying not to be seen talking with each other. That's kind of how being at the grocery store, the local grocery store.
Not you say that. I've seen the same thing. You know, especially when they hadn't done the social distancing part, they everybody was just kind of in there at the same time, and it was just eerily silent. And you know, there was a lot of people like kind of getting in each other's ways, and it was a bit annoying. And you know, obviously the toilet paper, paper towel section was all depleted and empty there, but it was that same feeling that you're talking about, and it's still going on. You know, I shop at Trader Joe's, and it's really bizarre. Like no one wants to talk. They're just in there to get their food
and get the hell out. Yeah. So what else you been up to, man? How have things been going for you? What have you been working on?
Yeah, well, I mean, I work with my microcurrent machine, you know, the magic black box there that helps people with pain and helps them, whoever it is, recover, you know, 2 to 3 times faster than normal using microcurrent electricity. Mm-hmm. And so when this whole lockdown went down and my business just completely caved in there, right? Because that's what I rely on, working with people face to face in the flesh. So that just completely shut down overnight. And so I don't really have work. I can't work in that aspect. So I'm just getting creative now, looking at other ways of earning income, just sharing what I know education wise with the body health. Flow, as you know, like getting in a state of awareness where you're connected with all things, and you know, we can go down the rabbit hole with that as we did in other episodes, but that's pretty much it, man. Just looking at my other options, and then just helping my mom out as much as possible. She's a caregiver, so she didn't want to get on the bus system. So just driver, you know, I said driving Miss Zenny around and picking her up and taking her shopping stuff. So that's pretty much been it. Just, you know, just trying
just
to
kind of hunkering down and all that stuff. Right.
Hunkering down and just paying attention to things, you know, knowing history and understanding how big governments work. Big Brother, as you said, as you opened up the podcast, and just paying attention to, you know, the signs, as I say.
Yeah, man, you know, the economic impact of this whole thing is absolutely insane. And we can talk about that in a second. I want to mention this about your machine, because I think it's like it's one of the coolest things I've ever tried, because I was in Brazil a couple of years ago, and I went running in the morning and then rolled my ankle, the worst I ever rolled my ankle in my life. And we flew back that day, and you know, that's like an 18-hour flight. So you're up there in the air that you couldn't elevate my ankle or anything like that. And the thing swelled to like twice its normal size. And then we got home, and Tony came over that night, and he brought the machine in. And, you know, I've always been a skeptic about different things, but this thing, like literally I couldn't walk beforehand. And then the ankle went back to normal size. You could see dents as he was doing it. And then I could walk right after within a half an hour. It was insane.
Yeah. It's funny, right? 'Cause your ankle was so swollen. And then as we were applying the electrodes on your skin, it was creating divots where the swelling was disappearing. So you had these little, like almost holes through your skin there as the swelling was dissipating. And then, we got your full range of motion. You were able to put your weight on. And, that's just, you know, the power of doing one session, but yeah, I mean, that thing, you know, microcurrent technology and electro muscle stimulation type device has been around for, you know, probably like close to 100 years. Mm-hmm. And the one that I have is very sophisticated, and there's a whole backstory behind it that gets pretty crazy, you know. But yeah, I've been involved for about 15 years and worked with all kinds of people and animals, and from the elite to the common folk. And yeah, it's powerful. It's why I continue to do it. The biohackers kind of brought in all this technology, and there's a lot of sort of garbage out there, you know, in terms of, you know, it's hard to tell which is legit and what's not because of the marketing narratives out there. And that's kind of why people are skeptical. But that's the best part. Like, we want skeptical people. It's not about like what I say, it's the action, it's the result. And so that's why, you know, everybody wants to, I just tell them, I don't believe a word I say. Let me show you. And from there, they're like, they become believers, right?
Right. Exactly. And that's the thing. It's about results. It's about seeing proof. And, you know, that goes back to everything we were talking about earlier. It's like, you know, I think that so many people out there are currently just being driven by fear. And I think that fear is being spread by the mainstream media. And I'm not somebody who's saying like the virus is a hoax or a complete hoax or anything like that, but the way it's being portrayed out there by the media and the way that a lot of this stuff is being brought up, I mean, you know, it just looks to me like it's a lot of different types of attempts to control people. And I'm not telling anybody, hey, don't social distance. I'm not saying put yourself in danger. But every time one of these things gets brought up, you know, it just makes my mind like, you know, this doesn't seem right to me. The way the government's acting, the way the media is acting doesn't seem right to me. You know, the idea that you know, they're saying hospitals are being overrun right now when, you know, they're not. I mean, you go to a lot of these hospitals, maybe in certain locations. I haven't seen all of them, but you know, even Governor Cuomo last week said they're not being overrun right now. They're waiting to be overrun, right?
Yeah, it's funny because they keep like pivoting on their narrative, right? And like you said, the media is really good at freaking people out. And the virus is not a hoax, but the response to it is the hoax, right? And so I was one of those citizen reporters that had to go to the hospital and see for myself. And from what I saw, it was completely empty, man. You know, there was a couple of nurses taking a break on the outside, but it was just a drive-by. It wasn't like I went in there because, you know, at the same time, I'm not going to be stupid and try to maybe catch this thing, right? Because I don't know whether it's true or not, but at the same time, like, I'm not worried about, you know, like I said earlier, I don't want to like not interact with people, right? But it's respecting other people who are in that fear place where they don't want to interact with you. And I'm respecting that. But yeah, I think it's nonsense to be able to shut the whole country down when there's a lot of evidence that it was an overreaction and that the CDC and the WHO's modeling was off, right? And so that's where you start thinking about agendas, you start thinking about conflicts of interest, and, you know, and then it goes down the rabbit hole from there, including 5G, which working with the body electric and understanding that the body is electric, and you know, that's why we measure brain waves electrically and heart waves and muscle waves. You know, everybody knows what a heart rate monitor in the hospital is. So that's all electric. And to think that these devices don't have an effect on our bodies, especially long term, is a bit naive, right? And so, you know, that's where I'm at. I'm paying attention to these kind of things just because I have experience in it. I've read the books on it. I'm not an expert, but you know, I definitely know like how we feel when we're attuned to nature and our you know, especially when they're at the beach or the forest, we just feel better, right? Like, and there is actually an electrical response going there, a hormonal response with the light going through our eyes. So what's tripping me out is I think the people that are getting sick are the ones that are susceptible because they're already stressed out, they're already run down, they're already have pre-existing conditions, they're obese, they're diabetic, they don't sleep, they don't eat right, they don't move their bodies. So, you know, when you talk about bringing a vaccination and making it mandatory so that people can like travel, I think that's horseshit, right? Because no one's going to put that crap in my body, right? Perhaps if they're going to mandate that, then we should turn around on the people that don't take care of themselves, that put a burden on our healthcare system, right? Because they don't get the proper rest, they, you know, are overtrained, overstressed, and aren't eating properly, not getting the proper air and water and light, right? It's all the common sense stuff. So I think those are the people that are susceptible to these type of viruses that come every single year. Why is this year any different?
Yeah. And you know, I'll say up front, I mean, like, I'm not a medical doctor or anything like that. And you know, I think one of the things, though, we can look at other places that are not doing this. And you know, I talk to a lot of Europeans through business and things like that. And every time I talk to a European lately, they think like, hey, the United States is on fire. We've got a plague going on over here. They're thinking it's like apocalyptic levels, and it's not, you know. But if you look at Sweden right now, Sweden has not done a shutdown. They haven't done anything like this. They've done some social distancing, but they haven't shut their entire economy down. And their levels aren't increasing, right? They're not, you know, their company's not, or their country's not going down in flames or anything like that at all.
Yeah, they've given people the choice to, especially the elderly, to just quarantine themselves and then continue life as it is. And so they're running that social experiment, and apparently it's not, you know, escalating the way they described here, where 2.1 million people are supposed to die, right? But yeah, I need like a couple of more weeks, and based on what I heard, and like I said, I'm not a medical doctor, but medical doctors deal with sickness, man. They deal with illness. They're not taught about like health. They don't study health and healthy people. So as much as they help people who already develop an illness or sickness, and you know, as we know, Chris, they barely get any kind of nutrition academic, you know, curriculum while they're in medical school. And you look at those types of folks, and I love them. They're first responders. They're there for emergencies. But a lot of them aren't examples of health themselves. They work in, you know, long hours under, you know, artificial lights. A lot of them, you see them smoking on their breaks. And, you know, thank God we have them. They sacrifice to help us. But, you know, a lot of times I take what they say with a grain of salt when it comes to staying healthy and strong.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what else is funny? Our mutual friend, Brian Rose from London Real, he got one of his videos banned. I think yesterday YouTube took it down. Mm-hmm. It was with David Icke, and oh man, I got the COVID. Oh, sorry. No, I just swallowed some dip spit. Sorry. He had a video with David Icke, and the title was COVID-19 doesn't exist or something like that. Right. And what's funny is like, all right, here's the deal. Like, YouTube's a private company. They can do what they want. But when you pull down videos like that, when you start censoring people, all you're doing is you're kicking a bull, right? You're kicking a bull and you're throwing gasoline on the fire. And by telling people that they can't talk about this, they can't broach this subject, you're giving rise to skepticism about who's in charge, where we're going, and what is being censored, right? You're just rising skepticism right now. And I think that's something they're not thinking about. You know, it's gotten to the point where we politicize this so much. If you're a conservative, you don't believe it, right? You don't you think this whole thing's a hoax. If you're a liberal or a leftist, you think that government needs to take more control, and you think that, you know, they need to keep track of people so that they need to stop, you know, they need to stop violating the social distance rules. And somewhere in the middle is the truth and the real way of going about this. And we're not seeing that right now. We're not seeing any compromise.
Yeah, you think the agendas are there, especially with the election coming up for the president. And yeah, there's a lot of rabbit holes we could definitely go into. But for me, like, free speech and free press is so important. I'm, you know, a constitutionalist myself. I love this country. I love the freedoms that we have. When you look at history and you think about like how Nazi Germany came about, you know, they took little steps and took freedom here and there and got a lot of people to believe in the propaganda. So for me, the mainstream media was dying. And, you know, and then there was a lot of stuff with Trump, with the left trying to get him out and the impeachment, just trying to find any kind of dirt on him, Russia, in terms of like, you know, meddling with the election, the ballot supposedly. But this is interesting. I don't know, man. Like you said, it comes down to the answer. The truth is probably somewhere in the middle, but they're not, it doesn't seem like they want to work for the people. They're looking at covering their asses so that they can get elected, or, right, or, whatever conflict or interest that they have in regards to pushing vaccinations or pushing laws that, you know, violate human rights, right? And so, right, the fear narrative is what's the issue that's really freaking people out. And that what concerns me is that people haven't learned discernment, right? They haven't learned to look at multiple sources, talk to multiple people, get different viewpoints, and then come up with their own opinion on it versus just taking everything at face value as sheep, you know?
Right, right. It's like, you know, where everybody's just waiting for instruction. And what bothers me is like how quickly people fell in the line on this. You know, I used to sit there and I used to wonder, how could the Holocaust have ever happened? I used to think, yeah, to myself, you know, how could the Spanish Inquisition have ever happened? You know, that kind of bullshit. And you know, it's funny because now I see it. I mean, I saw it. I've seen it, you know, in the past few years with the way political divisiveness has happened. I've seen it with this derangement syndrome that everybody sees to be happening. I lean conservative, but I don't think I don't think that either conservatives or liberals are immune from this, right? It happens both ways. And I think that, you know, as far as things go, it just bothers me how quickly, you know, people felt a little bit of danger and all of a sudden they were like, oh, arrest those people who are gathering, you know, make sure you're pulling people over, get that guy off of his paddleboard in the middle of the ocean where he's not around anybody just to prove a point, you know?
Yeah, snitching on people, right? The LA mayor was basically saying, we'll reward snitches, you know, reward the snitchers, right? Like, you just see that your neighbor is outside and they're, you know, they're not staying in or they're talking to each other too close, like, or that businesses are still running, you know, underground because the people are trying to make ends meet and feed their kids. And it's scary, man. And then, you know, as soon as you get some money from the government, you're almost kind of like suckered into whatever they say, you know. And So there's so many things that are happening that we're all on standby, like to see where this is going to go. And like you said, it's scary how quickly people just fell in line that way, you know? And this is new. I mean, it's unprecedented because it's worldwide, it's global. But I think, you know, a lot of the world like waits for what the U.S. is going to do, right? And then you just look at China. China obviously is not a country that, at least the politicians aren't the ones that we would want to believe, right? Because it's like, how are their numbers that low, right?
Right.
There's a lot of like fishiness that doesn't make any sense, you know, when you think about like how they're controlling their people and how they have cameras everywhere and that they have social credit scores that if they're too low, then you can't travel to the next town. You can't travel out of the country. Those kind of totalitarian ideas, that freaks me out, man. I hate to see the U.S. move in that direction, but you think about history, right? Every big power has collapsed, and it's like, how did that happen, right? It doesn't happen overnight. Like, as much as all this stuff has happened overnight with the lockdown, this has been slowly happening, right? With our cell phones and tracking and censorship of Google and, you know, now YouTube, right?
Right. Right. And you know, I think I'll read you a headline that came out about 5-6 hours ago, and it's from NBC News. And it says, U.S. reports 1,264 coronavirus deaths in over 24 hours. Meanwhile, in China, where the pandemic broke out, not a single new coronavirus death was reported. That's NBC News. That's NBC News,
yeah.
Right? And the thing about it is this, right? So you get Twitter. Twitter is fine with allowing that crap to be published, right? And to let it sit there. But then, you know, you get somebody who puts something up that says COVID-19 doesn't exist, which is equally probably fallacious, right? But it one gets published and gets to stand there, and then the other one doesn't, right?
Yeah, I think, you know, they're looking at David Icke, which, you know, I get it. Like, he believed in reptilian people that control the whole planet, right? That they're the elite that are up there with their switches and everything. But you know, that seems pretty far-fetched in my ideas, but my opinion. But, like, when I just think about how well-versed he is in history and how the propaganda movement happened in Nazi Germany and the Holocaust and all those sort of regimes, right? I just learned to discern, like, what part of it is making sense to me, you know? And so it's too bad that people can't, like, hear the whole interview, right, to be able to get the context, because like you said, the media, how come they get to use clickbait headlines, but, you know, someone like our buddy Brian Rose can't use the same, right?
Right, exactly. It's just bias, and it colors the conversation and puts us in a place where there's some things that are safe to talk about and then there's other things that aren't.
Exactly. And, you know, we're all hypocritical. That's the thing, man. Like, we all are seeing things and saying things based on what we know, but the conversation should be left open. Like, that's the beauty of what we're doing right now. It's having a discussion and, you know, it'd be different if we had someone that had a different point of view, but at the very minimum, like, everybody should have a voice to be able to speak. Now, I understand that some people's voices who are super influential It could be dangerous because, you know, they may be saying a lot of false things, but because they have a lot of influence, they can like sway people's minds, right? But you know, the point is, like, why this country is so great is that we have the freedom to be able to express ourselves. And it really comes down to the education and, again, discernment, like learning how to filter the signal from the noise, right? And it's scary when people, again, as we said earlier, just fall in line. They're not questioning, right?
And, well, here's the thing, you know, and I think this is important to say, I'm glad that NBC post is still up. And the reason I'm glad for it is because then I can go on Twitter and I could say, hey, author of this dumbass article, you are a fucking idiot. And that can stand there, me along with everybody else who disagrees, right? But then when you take something down that says coronavirus is a hoax, you take away anybody's ability to go over there and make comment on it, right?
Yeah, it's, I mean, I see, if I was to talk about the other side, I did see a comment about, you know, someone burning the 5G towers on that video before they took it down, or BBC posted that they, YouTube took it down, and they had a screenshot of somebody saying burn 5G towers, right? And so, you know, I see their point. I see it's, you know, there's some crazy fuckers out there, man, you know, and a lot of people are hiding behind their screens. How many people would actually say that, like, in public, right? Because that is definitely a threat. So the thing is, with Twitter and YouTube, Google, Facebook, they're all these private companies, but they're also have agendas. They also have lobbyists, right? The internet is still kind of the wild, wild west in terms of regulations and technology. And then you got, you go down the rabbit hole with, you know, getting implant chips and chips in the brain. But, like, how much technology do we really need now, you know? And I think on the bright side of what's happening is, I think people are able to spend time with their families, as much as we drive each other nuts sometimes. But I think hopefully people realize what's, like, truly important and how, and, like, what's not important, you know? So right. That's what I'm kind of optimistic about, hoping that our spirit as human beings, no matter what country you're from, starts to shine through. Because, you know, during emergencies, we know who the real people who got our backs, and we know who the ones that are going to shy away that we can't rely on and trust. But I have faith in humanity too, that we take care of each other, you know. But it's also scary too when you see people hoarding toilet paper, man, and fighting for it, you know, that last roll, you know.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, man, you know, as far as everything goes, I know you've been working on some breath work stuff and things like that. Where can people go to catch up with you? And I see your spicy dance challenge that you got going up on social media.
Yeah, that's just, you know, to have fun and kind of remember what's important. So yeah, we have a, you know, spicy dance challenge. You have people send in videos 15 to 30 seconds long, minimal. I mean, they can do long ones, longer ones, but yeah, just hashtag spicy dance challenge. And then, you know, people can reach me or tag me at TONEFLOREAL. So I spelled tone. I said Tony, but it's spelled T-O-N-E and then F-L-O-R-E-A-L. And that's, yeah, mainly on Instagram, on Facebook. And then they could also check out what I do with the machine and sort of all the health practices, including breathing ice, heat, on magicflowbus.com.
Magicflowbus.com. And Piper says that Tony is awesome. That's what she was saying.
Oh, this pipey dog.
Well, dude, man, I want you to stay safe up there. It's always great talking to you. Like I said, you're one of my best friends in the world. And just with everything, man, hold your family close and keep your head up through this, brother.
Yeah, brother. Thanks for being there for me and checking in. And same thing with you and your family, Shauna, Piper. You guys stay healthy and strong. Keep your head up. And we'll keep fighting for freedom, brother.
Awesome, man. Absolutely. And everybody out there, like I said, you know, we're not telling you not to social distance. We're not telling you to break the law. We're not telling you that, we're not even saying the coronavirus is a hoax or that there is no danger being posed here. What we are saying is, you know, when you hear stuff like this, begin asking questions, right? Be intelligent. And remember, you know, I hate talking like this, but I, honestly, you know what? I like talking like this. I mean, the famous statement, give me liberty or give me death, that still needs to hold true. It still needs to hold true. And it's an obligation that I think we as Americans face. And it's something that we need to hold dear to our hearts. And we need to follow that up with action, right? And when these types of things start coming up, that's when it's time for us to step up and say, you know what? That's a no-go, man. That's a no-go. And we need to be Americans in this situation. So that's all I'm saying.
Yeah. And one last thing, Chris, I'd just like to thank all of our military and service people for fighting for our freedoms, you know, for our ability to say what we can say and do just have the greatest country, you know, in terms of all the rights that we can have as human beings.
Thank you for that. And I also want to say thank you to all of our healthcare workers, our nurses, our doctors, our EMTs, our paramedics. Thank you guys so much for the job you're doing, the long hours you're working. And with everything that's coming down from this. And also,
yeah, thank you.
And also I want to say this, thank you to those of you, the American worker, who has currently been forced to sit on his hands, in her hands because of this situation. Thank you for your bravery. Thank you for keeping your heads up. And when it's time, we're going to need you guys, to step up again, you know?
Yes. Thank you. Thank you.
All right, guys, we will be back later on this week with some more awesome content. This is Chris Albert and Mr. Tony Flowreel, and we are out. All right, guys, I hope that you enjoyed that conversation. Again, we're just trying to open up your minds here. Like I said, a lot of people are very closed-minded about this. A lot of people seem like they're lining up like sheep just to have their civil liberties taken away. And again, many seem to be applauding it. We're here to present an alternative point of view. I think that's the point of podcasting in general. If I was saying the same exact thing as the mainstream media, then there wouldn't be a reason for me existing, nor would there be a reason for any of the other shows existing. And that's something that I think is tragic about podcasting these days, is that there are more and more shows on iTunes that are just extra arms or extra wings of the mainstream media. And I think podcasting needs to remain independent. And the only way it does remain independent is if more people come on here and start their own shows. And so, you know, a big thing I would say, and I'm never going to be one of these guys who puts out like a $2,000, podcasting class or anything like that. But if it's something you're interested in, I want to highly encourage you to do so. I am working on a book about my experience on it. And, you know, it's not like one of these guidebooks or anything like that. It's just something I want to get out there into the world, because I think we need more people with independent mindsets putting information out there into the world that are not corporately funded, that are not taking on millions of dollars of VC money and things like that. So that is it for today. You know, the way the word gets out about the Warrior Soul podcast is through you guys. I don't do any advertising. I don't put money into the social media platforms anymore, because honestly, when you start doing that, it tends to water down the view, it tends to water down what you could put out there. And so I'm not looking to take on sponsors or anything like that that are going to have me water down my message. And so what I am asking you to do is to spread the word. Again, I don't care if you ever spend a dime with Warrior Soul. I don't care if you ever buy anything from us. I make my own money. I have a job that I've done, that I've taken on to fund everything that I'm doing here. So I don't care if you ever spend a dime with us. What I do care about is that this show grows and that we get into the ears of more veterans. And why do I care about that? Because I believe the veteran community is the sleeping giant in this country. And the more of us that wake up, the more of us that step into being leaders in our own communities, the more of us that take charge of our lives and provide for our families and make the lives of our children better, the more we are going to transform this country. So all I'm asking you to do is share these episodes out, to head over to iTunes, to write us a written rating and review, and to let the world know that the Warrior Soul podcast exists. In addition to that, if you want to join us in our private mastermind group, the Warriors Obituary Society, that is a group where a few of us get together each week. We bounce ideas off of each other. We talk about current events. We work to empower each other to live epic lives worthy of epic obituaries. And all new members go through an 8-week development program that includes education on fitness, finance, personal relationships, networking, becoming more professional, developing your career. All of these different things are included in an extremely low priced product and an extremely low priced mastermind. A lot of these masterminds out there go for like $1,000 a month. That's not what this is. I'm looking to empower this population. So if you're interested in that, head over to www.warriorobituarysociety.com. And other than that, guys, I want to thank you so much. I want to, tell you, this is still life. This is still the United States of America. You are still free. But the only way you're going to remain that way is if you decide that you want to fight for it. So that's the deal, guys. I will be talking to you soon. This is Chris Albert, and I am out.